Welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am chatting with Riverside Resources and the president and CEO, John Mark Stoudy. Riverside is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol RRI and on the OTCQB under the symbol RVSDF. John Mark, I wanted to bring you on the show now because we had been talking off mic for a few weeks now, and there seems to be some developments that could help further drive this company. Before we get into some of the nuances within the company, I did just want to quickly review for anyone who has not heard of Riverside or is not up to date. This company has been around for almost 13 years, founded back in 2007, never done a share rollback, and right now only have 63 million shares outstanding. So very good stewards of capital, I would say. John Mark, the company is a project generator, a total of 9 projects. The focus is in North America. Can you just quickly review that overall strategy and how you're balancing out some of the partner-funded projects and some of the ones that don't have partners on them?
Yes, love to. Riverside is a prospect generator. We were founded with that as an approach and working particularly with majors, also with mid-tiers. Right now, we have a program going with a company, Sinaloa Resources, at our La Silla project, for example. And we've done these type of joint venture projects over the years. We've actually been able to do 61 projects, been able to keep royalties on a number of those properties. Another project that we have going is in Arizona, our Sugarloaf Peak project with the partner Croesus Gold. There again, we have a large shareholding and we have a royalty on the project. And Riverside used to work in Canada and is diversifying again into Canada, as well as our major focus as Riverside in Mexico. Myself did a PhD, have been focused in Mexico, and we have the strong gold, silver, and copper projects in Mexico with that diversified portfolio.
Now, just a quick comment. Why have the focus simply on North America and even where, like Canada, you do have that one project or that Sugarloaf project that was in the U.S. and a number of projects in Mexico?
I think three reasons. First off is it's easy access to capital that the North American money likes to invest locally. I think the second thing is that there's a stability for investment. And also the third is that it's a speed of development, particularly in Mexico. We've seen that projects that have been found can quickly be developed for very inexpensive, cost-effective to get some of the cheapest production. Agnico Eagle, Alamos Gold, lots of companies that operate in Mexico find it to be their most favorable, best place to operate. So we really like that. North America, United States, Canada with the strong tax benefits as well, make it the really good places for us to be able to develop. Us as a small company, not wanting to get too spread. We have a small office in Hermosillo, Mexico, a small office in Vancouver, Canada, really able to work and operate in North America cost effectively.
Now, regarding some of the resources that you're focused on, I always thought of Riverside as a more precious metals project generator, prospect generator. But the fact is, from talking to you, you guys also do have this focus in copper as well. Where's the balance here?
Yeah, it is. And I'd say that it's about 70-30 with probably of that 70, 60 would be gold, 10% would be silver. But 30, we actually have 3 large projects and are working on more. You know, Sonora, Mexico, we've also had copper projects in British Columbia, and we have a huge database for Canada as well as for Mexico. And right now we have the Teco project, the Ariel project, the Thor project in Mexico that are 3 open pit porphyry copper style projects. We do see that the markets for copper are growing, the demand. We see China, Asia, increasing demand for copper. These are places that we have in Mexico that could be easily reached to ports that feed the Pacific that are actively able to ship concentrate over to China. So we really see that as a good strategic fit for us.
So through these 9 projects that the company currently holds, what's the number of partner-funded projects that you have?
So right now we have 2 partner-funded projects with the Sinaloa, which is a gold-silver project that's going in with the La Silla, is the main one that we currently have drilling on for this year. And we also plan ourselves to be doing some work. We just see that the market hasn't appreciated the quality of the properties, so we're progressing ourselves as well.
What projects are those going to be that you're actually going to get on there, spend your own money?
Yeah, we're working on the Cecilia Project. It's a great location, easy to access in northern Mexico in the state of Sonora, which is the best mining state in all of Mexico. It's about the size of Nevada in size, and it has a similar type of push in Mexico, known to be the state that has mining. The Cecilia Project is the right type of geology, similar to what Silvercrest has developed at their new discovery and have gotten amazing valuations there. And so we see that this project, our Cecilia project, could be another great discovery. If it could catapult us to be like a Silvercrest, we'd be very excited. Our shareholders would be very well received and be very happy with those type of returns.
Has there been any prior work that you're going off of that has kind of enticed you to get on the ground and potentially start drilling this project yourself?
Most definitely. I think the first thing is the Mexican government. In fact, I even visited this property back in the last century when I was a translator working for the U.S. government, translating the geology with the Mexican government. But then Candior came and drilled. Unfortunately, when they had problems during 3X time and everything, the project slipped away from them, and we were able to now consolidate it and put it back together. So with the 23 previous holes, some of them having 100-gram meter holes, there's actually 23 underground workings, very high grades. We have 1 and 2 ounce gold right from the surface. We really like the potential here to find something large and definitely rich at Cecilia.
Do you guys have a drill program planned around this yet, or is that still in the works?
We actually do have initially one planned. We do have it permitted. We're working on the final targeting for some of the different areas of it. We are in the field right now doing sampling, and we do see that in the first half of 2019, we'll be drilling there. We very much like it. We just want to make sure that we have the best targets worked out, and we've also been expanding, adding more ground. We're now up to over 7,000 hectares, so that's 70 square kilometers of land.
Okay, now in terms of adding more land or other projects elsewhere, is that continuing to be the focus? Because you even said, you know what, right now the market isn't really rewarding a whole lot or very many companies at all for exploration or for even getting deals done. I know there's companies out there that are struggling. So are you guys looking to either acquire or stake more land as well?
Yeah, you know, Riverside's in a great situation. We have over $3.5 million cash, that's Canadian, with no debt. We've never had debt. And so we definitely are seeing opportunities where people are throwing in the towel or just doesn't fit. We have a database of over 70,000 locations from Mexico. We have a very strong GIS component and are trying to apply actually artificial intelligence to gleaning through our data to try to work through. So yes, we see there are chances to acquire ground very cost effectively, good ground. We're not trying to be actively expanding, but when you just get such great opportunities, you can't give them away. You got to go for it. We're a long-term, believe in the long-term and see that Riverside's in a great position to take advantage of it. Then as the market turns, we'll have those great projects. And we already see ourselves working on transactions now for some of those. Yeah. So we definitely see right now is a great time to be in the market. And as Riverside if market people don't want them, then we'll take them on at great values.
So is there a balance or a preference between either more green fields or unexplored areas compared to brownfield targets that maybe do have some old historic work done on them?
Yeah, very strongly focused to get that sunk dollar previous work into the projects. We're not trying to go out and just stake things that haven't been done work, but we're finding that some projects that have significant past work are available in different ways. But yeah, we're looking at places that are already known to have mineralization. People have put in millions of dollars of sunk capital and we can get it. That's how we got the La Silla project. Over $30 million of work by Meridian and Yamana and lots of other work accounted for in their accounting statements on these projects. And then we've gone and acquired it for tens of thousands of dollars in staking and other things like that that comes available. So we can get these incredibly good districts that have great value that are basically just people aren't paying attention, not a lot of competition, things like that. So yeah, that's exactly the brownfields is where we're focusing.
So if we also take a step back and look at the sector in a broad sense, there are a lot of exploration companies that are struggling. We've seen some consolidations of the majors at the top end of the pyramid. When you're looking for partners to fund some of the exploration on your projects, are you finding that you have to go more to larger companies, try to build up some of these stronger alliances to get work done in a more sustainable manner? Or do you still see those opportunities dealing with some of the smaller exploration companies?
We're actually doing both. We have a two-pronged attack. So in country, we find we have people that are working with the majors that come and we build the relationships with them. Also myself, having worked in the majors and being able to travel and meet with them, we build on those relationships so the majors go really well, and we predict coming in the rest of this year to have more partnerships with majors. That being said, also the small companies and ourselves having a small office in Vancouver, it's excellent to connect with smaller companies. Although it's difficult for them in these markets to raise money, we do have the projects that are low cost, easy to explore, don't have helicopters, don't have all these high costs. So you can do it very cost effectively. So on a small budget, you can make a big difference, particularly in Mexico or in places that you can drive up to in other parts of the countries and in North America. So that's really been good for us as well. So a two-pronged approach, yes.
Okay. Well, John Mark, we're going to wrap it up there because we have covered kind of the high-level strategies for this company and the fact that you guys do have money and you're working on still even acquiring more projects, building out your project portfolio. But there are a lot of other nuances within this company that we can dive into. I'll have you back on the show, but I also want to get our audience to either comment or even better, email me at fleck@kereport.com with any questions, either internally for Riverside or just broad market base for John Mark to address. So please, again, everybody email me. I'm happy to put any of those questions or comments in front of John Mark. And in the meantime, well, John Mark will kind of circle back around as we get some more news and see hopefully some more developments coming sooner rather than later. John Mark, thanks again for your time.
Thank you.